Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be back with you all again today. I've been here on several other occasions to share God's word with you. For those maybe I haven't met, my name is Jeff Doringer, as was mentioned. I serve in ministry and have kind of the whole of my ministry career with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I've served in a variety of roles. As I started out, I did youth and single adult ministry and planted a church and served as a lead pastor for 8 years and in a variety of other spiritual formation and discipleship roles after that. And I currently work at the Central District Office of the CMA, and my role is the prayer coordinator. So I get to work alongside pastors and ministry leaders and help cultivate a sense of the richness of God's presence in each person's heart and in their life. And you know how difficult that is, right? To quiet yourself, to dial in, and have a true sense of the nature and presence of God. Just come down in your quiet space. We're a people that move pretty quickly, don't we? So it's a role I love getting to do and to serve in. So glad to be able to share in some of this time. And since I am the prayer coordinator, it would just make sense, wouldn't it, if we pause for a moment of prayer. Just before we do that, though, we're going to be talking about, I just want to introduce the theme, it's just the power of words. Okay, just the power of words. And in our quiet reflection, I'm going to guide you with a couple of thoughts as it relates to the power of words. And so if you would just close your eyes for a moment, those of you online, you can do the same wherever you are in your house. And just take a deep breath and settle into the presence of God here today. Lord, would you calm and quiet our hearts today? We don't want to just take more in without pausing. We know there are specific things you want each one of us to hear today. And so, as our heart calms in your presence, may it open up the eyes and ears of our heart that we might receive the very thing you've designed and purposed for us today. I'm going to just ask that the Holy Spirit would make you aware of some of your words over the past week. Use the videotape of your mind, if you will, to see yourself in a specific situation from this past week. And I want you to hear your own words. Almost see yourself like you're watching yourself say something. What were the power of your words in that moment? As you're seeing yourself speak those words, are they building that person up? Are they tearing that person down? Maybe the words you're thinking weren't directed at a person, but spoken about something. What kind of atmosphere did your words create? Lord, we're here today for you to do something within us that helps us use our words to bring life and to build others up. And so do that today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that even in just a couple of moments of stillness and quiet, and even seeing a few of your words that you spoke in the last week, words have power, don't they? They have power to build up. They have power to tear down. They have power to sour a whole room like that. Whatever is going on within us, it makes its way out of us through our words. And it has a significant impact. And that's what we're going to spend some time on today. I remember when I was young, I grew up playing hockey. I loved playing ice hockey. My older brother got us all into playing hockey. And so we were a hockey family, including my sister, who I lost my position in the net to my sister because she was better. So, you know, that's how it goes. And I didn't want to compete with her since we were close enough in age. We were on the same team. So I got out of the net and played another position. But as I grew in my skills and abilities, I was asked to play in this thing called Hockey Night in Boston. It was kind of a premier sort of event. And there were a lot of scouts for high school prep schools and that kind of thing. And I was terrified to go, not because I couldn't necessarily keep up, but I was struggling with some confidence. I was like, well, like, I don't want, you know, I really don't want to go. And I think deep down I did want to go. I was just afraid. And I was talking with my older brother, Gary, about it. And I remember the conversation. And he just said these words to me. He said, "You should go. You can keep up with those guys. You should go. You can keep up with those guys." Guess what happened? I went. You know why I went? Because in the place where I was afraid and experiencing some insecurity, somebody deposited some words of life that brought out what I really wanted to do and enabled me to step out in a way that I wouldn't have otherwise. The power of words. Words have power, and if you think about God and words, what comes to your mind? God spoke, right? And the worlds came to be. His very words spoke things into existence. And God has designed words to have creative power to call things to life. As the Spirit hovered over the waters of the deep and God spoke, things came into being. That's the power of words. God has ordained words to have a tremendous impact. They can declare things. They can set things into motion. Those famous words, "And God said," "And God said, let there be light," "And there was light," "And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water," "And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear," "And it was so," "And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky," "And God said." Words have power to bring things into existence. I know we have some kids in the room and probably online as well. How many of you have seen the movie Big Hero 6? Big Hero 6? Okay, we've got one over here, one who saw Big Hero 6. But in the movie Big Hero 6, it's a great kids movie, but the hero, the actor in there, he imagines having all these little magnets, and there's like hundreds of thousands of little magnets, and he puts on this little device, and whatever he thinks starts coming into being. And so if he imagined in this big room a tidal wave, all these magnets would come together in the form of a tidal wave. And if he imagined like stepping out on a step, the step would be there because the mat, right? It was, and that's how I picture and God said. And it all comes together. The power of words. man's first and most powerful use of words in the Bible was what? When God gave him the power to name. Of all the creatures on this planet, only man has the power to communicate through the spoken word. The power to use words is a unique gift from God. Do you realize that? We know animals communicate through sound, right? But only man has the capacity to use speech. And part of our speech is that of naming. The power of naming. In Genesis 2:19, it says, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name." The power of naming. We use words to name things all the time. Did you know that naming didn't just stop in the garden when the creatures were named? We name events. Did you know that? We name events, right? You go to a party and you're like, "That was awful." You just named the event. Or, "That was amazing." You just declared over that event what the nature of that event was to you. And so the power of your words name events. We name our experiences. If you have a thrilling experience, you say, "That was so fun." And your declaration over that experience is, "That was fun." Or if it was a painful experience, you might declare, "That ripped my heart in half." And you now have named that event. And in a way, we seal things by naming them. We name the type of day that we have, right? Something happens in the day, and you might name that day, or maybe a couple of somethings happen in your day. See, Pastor John lost his wallet. I wonder what kind of day he named it after losing his wallet, right? These things happen to us, and we can name our day. And when we name our day, guess what happens? We start seeing how we named the day and everything else that happens after that through how we named it. The power of our words, the power of naming. We name our attitudes. Have you ever been in a shopping? You're shopping and like something happens and the person checking you out is kind of rude, and you name that person. You name their attitude. "Wow, they're grouchy." And you name their attitude. We name people too. "Oh, I hate playing with them," right? If you're kids, "I hate playing with them. They're so competitive." And you name a person. Or, "They always talk about themselves." Another story. Here we go again. And we name people, and then we always see them through those lenses. Once we name something, it takes a lot to overturn it. But that's the power of our words. We have the power to name things. That's a lot of power, isn't it? When you just start thinking through the ways in which words have power, that's a lot of power. And our words have the power to build up or to tear down. Consider these proverbs. Words build up or they tear down. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Your tongue has the power of life and death." Just pause there. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love to talk will eat the fruit of their words. It's kind of chilling, isn't it, when we pause and consider that? Proverbs 12:18. "The words of thoughtless people cut like swords." Have you ever cut your finger with a cutting knife? Okay, that's like a nick on your finger. The words of thoughtless people cut like a sword. And here's the converse. But the tongue of wise people brings healing. Did you know our words shape how other people see themselves? Our words shape how other people see themselves. This isn't on the slides, John, so don't hunt for it. Bob Goff, in his book called Love Does, says this: I used to think the words spoken about us describe who we are, but now I know they shape. I think I misread my own quote. Let me do that again. I used to think the words spoken about us describe who we are, but now I know they shape who we are. Words have the power to shape and influence how people see themselves. I want to read you a quote by David Kyle Foster. He said this: by their words and by their treatment, those who created you — so here's a heads up to parents and then even grandparents — by their words and their treatment, those who created you and those who have formative authority in your life speak an identity into you. In essence, your self-image is an impression left by others. It is not who you truly are. That is, it does not reflect the reality of how God created you to be. It is a perceived image. But for a young person, perception is reality. Our words have a tremendous impact in shaping other people. Being rightly named means being truly known. It changes our lives. Embedded in our words and in our actions are the names we give to and receive from others. That's from Mark Labberton in the article he wrote called Leading by Naming. Being rightly named means being truly known. Mark, in his article, went on to say this. I want to read. It's a little lengthier paragraph. He said, "Really? Really? I can still feel the impact of a highly musical friend who one day called me musical. No one had ever called me that. I didn't really play an instrument. I was no soloist. Yet what made this comment so remarkable was that I instantly felt known and loved. Why? Because I was being named in the way that always matters most, from the inside out. The musicality of my life, fundamental and invisible as it was, has to do with my soul, not with instruments. It's about my way of being in the world, not about notes being played. The sheer unexpected grace of being named musical stunned me. It's not the most important thing about me, but he got me in a way that noticed, validated, and appreciated something deeply true about me, even though it's usually missed." Being rightly named, he says, means being truly known. It changes our lives. And embedded in our words and in our actions are the names we give to and receive from others. Nods of recognition, glances of curiosity, looks of compassion, signs of paying attention build one another up. "Hey, bud, good job. I noticed. Thank you. Join us." Our little names that matter. When positive words and actions combine, such naming actually makes a life. Friends, our words, they're constantly naming people, they're naming events, they're naming moments, they're naming attitudes, and it either builds up or it tears down. The words we say get played over and over again in other people's minds and hearts. You know that to be true because there are things that others have said to you, am I right? That play over and over again in your mind and in your heart. What are words of life? What are words that build others up? Life words call forth things a person doesn't yet see in themselves and opens them up to new possibilities, just like the paragraph that I read. Right? There was some musicality in the author, and it got called out. Life words do that. They call forth things in a person that they may not even yet see in themselves. See, if you catch a person doing something and you call it out, guess what's going to happen? It's going to firm that up in the person. It's going to give them confidence. And it's going to enable them to be that in a way that they otherwise wouldn't be able to be. Words of life call things out of people. Just like in creation. It said the earth was formless and void. There was some material there, wasn't there? And over this chaotic material, God spoke. Well, there are things in all of our lives that if somebody would speak something over it, they would spot it and see it. And it can be in small form too. It doesn't have to be fully developed in your life. You don't have to see it fully developed in their life to say something about it. You just have to catch it in a moment and say, you know what? You have a way of stepping in at just the right moment to help people. Did you know that? And all of a sudden, guess what's going to happen, especially here in the church? That person's going to go gangbusters using that gift because it got called to life. They were properly named. Life words affirm what a person may know to be true about themselves, but when an external testimony is spoken over them, it releases that grace, that trait in their life in a powerful way. Right? Think about the things that you've known to be true about you. Let's just take the thing that you know you're pretty good at. What happens when somebody says something about the very thing that you're good at? And you know it's not just they're saying something about you. Here's the talent, right? And it pours fuel into the talent so that you can use your talent to an extreme level. It inflates the talent. And so life words affirm what a person may know to be true already in their heart, but when you speak something over it, it comes out in a tremendously powerful way. You know what life words also do? Life words heal wounds by replacing previously spoken words over them with a new script. If you've ever been in counseling and you've talked out some of the difficult situations of your life, and I've been there and I've done that, and even after I've done that, I've often felt like it was helpful, but I need something. There's something still missing in that event. And you know what I've discovered for myself? Is I've talked out a difficult situation or that, but there was a script written over me by that difficult situation. Somebody named me. Somebody named that situation. And by talking it out, I knew it was a powerful event in my life. Do you know what I needed? I needed a new script. I needed somebody to write a new tattoo on my heart, a new iron-on that would be infused into my soul like those other words were. And when I was given a new script by somebody, they renamed healing the fullness of healing took place. Life words heal by replacing words of death with words of life. I remember working with a college student, and her father would call her a horrible name. And we were doing it was a retreat designed around prayer and healing and that. And she didn't want to say the name out loud because it was so shaming. And I asked her, I said, I really want you to say the name out loud. And so she spoke the name out loud with tears and heartache. And I looked her in the eye, and we had a group of a dozen people, and I said, that is not who you are. And I remove, and I said the name out loud, and I had the group give her new names. And she walked out of there with a new iron on her heart, a new tattoo on her heart to remove the old one. Friends, that's what we can do for one another. That's what we can do. Destructive words do the exact opposite of everything I just said. They tear down. Sometimes destructive words really are aimed at an individual. We make a declaration over somebody because of one event, and we've got to be careful. And you know what? We've got to go back and repair things we've said and say, when this event happened, I said you were stupid. How could you be so stupid? And yes, you're talking about the event, but guess what? To the person on the other end, you've declared that over their heart, over who they are, who their very existence is. And we need to go back and say, and we need to say what we said to them. Do you remember when I said you were stupid for whatever, dropping all the groceries on the ground? You're not stupid. And I need to ask your forgiveness. And in fact, you're really the opposite of stupid, because I've seen you do this and this and this and this, and a stupid person could never do that. So sometimes our words are specific and they're aimed at a particular person. But sometimes our words are general negativity, complaining and things like that. And they drain the life out of a family, out of friendship because of that. And I feel like it's important to say right now, we've got so much going on in our society right now. Friends, we are in a really rough time. We've got an election coming in November that is the most polarized I think any of us have ever seen. We have a disease that's running through not just the U.S., but around the globe, that's causing changes galore. And there are more opinions about what's happening. It's hard to know what's true and what's not true. And this is a difficult time. We have race situations going on everywhere. And we have to be very careful of the words we speak out when we're watching a news clipping. We have to be careful of the words even that we're taking in, because they have an effect on us. We want to be, as Christians, we are called to have life words. And whatever it takes to preserve life words, we have to do that. We have to do that. Life words don't mean not saying something that's true, but we have to measure not just what we're about to say, but the attitude in which we're about to say it. We have to measure what kind of atmosphere is this creating. Is this stirring up the polarizing nature of what's going on? Or will this bring people to actually hear and have an open heart? Friends, Christians, mature Christians are desperately needed right now. Not just ones who stand on a soapbox, but ones who allow a platform for people to investigate what's really in their hearts. Friends, we all have biases. How can you not? We all grew up in a certain way. By the mere fact of that, we have biases to certain things. And we don't have a ton of experiences. I travel to Africa every year. I don't have any of the experience of the people that I'm there with. So I have to be a learner. And I have to realize that when I say certain things, I'm probably going to get it wrong, at least some of the time. And I'm going to have to say, this is how you hear those words in this context. And gosh, I didn't even think about that. We have to have a disposition where we can be learners and realize that sometimes our words are going to cut people down. And if we say everything with the strength of 1,000% conviction, I just wonder, is that even possible? Like, how do we... Isn't there something to even learn over... We do this in the church. We think we know a particular truth, and so we speak it in a way that we don't actually leave room to hear from somebody else who might actually know something about the very same thing we claim so strongly. And we're only seeing this much of that truth. And if we could be a little more open, like, I didn't even know that. I didn't even think about something as basic as redemption from that angle, because I proclaim it this way all the time. As believers, we need to be people of life words, because the reality is, words tell all. Our words tell all. In Luke 6:45, it says this. It says, a good man says good things. These come from the good. This is an interesting connection here. A good man says good things. These come from the good that is stored up in his heart. An evil man says evil things. These come from the evil that is what? Stored up in his heart. A person's mouth says everything that is in their heart. Our words reveal more than we think. The heart stores up things, and at the right moment, it pops out and it gets revealed. So what are you storing up in your heart these days? How does the heart store things up? We store up things when we think about what we don't like about a person, what annoys us. And when we think about that, it starts storing it up in our heart. And then we think about it again, and we think about it again, and every time we run into them, we think about it. And guess what? That's how we store things up in our hearts. Guess what's going to happen? Eventually, that infection is going to pop. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's how this thing works. We store it up. If we criticize, we're storing things up, and then we start criticizing. The heart stores things up when we watch the news. We got to be careful, friends. Be informed, absolutely. But what's the effect it's having on your heart? And you may need equal and perhaps more significant time in the presence of God so that you can properly hear the news. You might need more time in the presence of God so that you can properly hear the news. It's human nature to read things that we tend to agree with, but we're storing up something in our heart. We're storing up, and we're good at this as Americans, we're storing up the I'm right and they're wrong. That's a way of building ourselves up, okay? Mature people are able to be in a room where they don't totally agree with other people. Mature people don't have to point fingers. Mature people don't always have to have the extreme polarizations, because I can hear a point of view and say, interesting, I don't understand it that way, but I'm not in your shoes, so help me understand why you would say it that way. But that's hard to do when we're taking in so much and we're not, we're storing that stuff up in our heart. I remember as a young person, I was storing up in my heart, this was when I was in middle school, and there was a teacher that my sister had, and then I was going to have her 2 years later, and she was rough, and I remember she called the house one morning, and out of the things I was storing up in my heart, I answered the phone. This was before school, and the teacher, I said, "Hello." She said, "Hello, this is so-and-so. Is your mother there?" I said, "Okay." And this was in the day when the cordless phone had the giant metal antenna, right? And I put my hand over the bottom of the phone, and I went to the bottom of the stairs, and I shouted up the stairs, "Hey, Mom! It's the worst teacher in the world on the phone!" And my mom marched down the stairs, and the look of death on her face, and oh boy, that was an event. And when my mom got done doing the quiet, you know, lecture thing, she said, "Hello." And the teacher said, "Tell your son, he just made my day. He just made my day." Well, my mother was a good mother, and guess what she made me do? Oh, glory to God. We got in the car, and we went to the classroom where she was the teacher in the school, and I had to tell her that I was sorry for the things that I said. I thought I was going to die. She was gracious in receiving my apology, and but you know why I said that? Because I'd been storing up things in my heart about her. And that's what happens when we store up things in our heart. When we store up jealousy, when we store up selfishness, when we nurse a hurt. So I'll ask you, what's being stored up in your heart these days? What's being stored up in your heart? It's being stored up in the heart towards the people that you love the most. Annoying little features within our family members, if we start storing it up, it's the only thing we see. And we lose sight of all the other stuff that's there that's wonderful. We're a mixed bag, we human people. There's a lot going on. There's a giant mess in the midst of our diamonds. And boy, if all we see is the mess and we miss the diamonds, we'll just hurt each other in our families and in our churches and in our communities and in our country and in our world. Friends, we have to be professionals at spotting the diamonds, even though there's all the mess in the midst of it. And as Christians, we are called to find the diamonds, speak about the diamonds, and call the diamonds out so they can reflect the glory of the sun as they hit on the diamond. Right? That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what it means to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that our world right now, they're overdone on words. I can tell you that much. Right? So we can't just preach at people. But when we start capturing the true nature of who people are, and we put it into words, the diamonds will start shining. We may just see some transformation in the places that God allows us to be in. Well, I want to close with giving you a moment. What does the Holy Spirit in particular want to say to you today? So pause. Holy Spirit, we've heard, well, perhaps too many of my words today. But we pause now. What is it? What is it that we need to walk out of this room with, or when we shut the internet off at home? What's the person, the group? That we need to think about as it relates to the power of our words. Is there somebody, something we've named? That we need to pull back and rename. If it's true that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, then he sees your diamonds amidst everything else. And he calls you beloved. He calls you his very own. He calls you the righteousness of God in Christ. That's how he names you. Life spring. May words of life spring forth from the good that you store up in your heart. And we seal all these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you close in just saying this closing benediction with me? May no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Speak what is helpful for building others up. Meet the need of someone with a timely word of life. Call into existence the good you see in others. Amen, and God bless you. Have a wonderful day today.